scriptural. The Reverend Mwami Loro. It means?
The dreamer.
The dreamer. Which is it, Venda? Yeah? Oh, strong. Yeah. Mwami Loro. Oh, from Ulora. Okay. All right. You know black language is there. Oh, okay, I nearly dodged, eh? I nearly dodged. And I would say, I don't know this one. Mwami Loro, Chawane. Mr. Chawane, can I take this opportunity to welcome you in this special session to engage us based on your CV that made us to shortlist you so that we can have this conversation and engage with you to sell yourself. Why should we consider you for this job? You are welcome, and we call upon you to feel free, comfortable, relaxed, listen to your answers, and so on. My name is Mondli Kungubele, the chair of the panel. Next.
Good afternoon. My name is Member Gillian. I'm the co-chair of this panel. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mfundisi. My name is Ikang Stock, member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Dr. Reverend. My name is Bridget Masango. I'm the member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development and the subcommittee.
Good afternoon, Funditi. My name is Leticia Aris. I'm a member of the Portfolio on Social Development.
Good afternoon, Mr. Tawani. I'm Dalmain Christians. I'm a member of the Select Committee as well as this committee.
Afternoon, my name is Otto Malika. I'm a member of the subcommittee. Yes.
I said the reverends are always ready because you don't know the day and the time. Okay. The conversation I'm going to have with you is going to be 3 minutes. But I always make sure that 2 minutes belongs to you and more seconds. If you tell us a bit about yourself and why you're interested in committing your time, energy, to serve this board, and if appointed, what are you bringing? It's almost 3 minutes. Okay, proceed.
Is it on? Yeah. I was born in Larry Selborne and brought up in Bushbuckridge in Mpumalanga. My education started there. Immediately after, when I was doing my primary school, I was divorced. My parents divorced, and I found myself in the street. Not because my father, we were poor. No, because of the divorce. I was in the street. I worked in the farm, and I tried all these what other young people smoking benzene and other stuff that other young people will do. But because of my vision, I then went back to school. And I educated myself up to the highest standard in education. So the reason why I'm here, and after that, of course, I went to study theology in Alice at FSM next to Fort Hare. And there I met Steve Biko, he was our leader at that time in Sasso. And that was very helpful because that's where my intellectual and political foundation was started. And I came as a minister. 1976, I became part of the leader in Soweto. 1976, when it started, I was part of that. And I interacted with young people. After that, I got a scholarship to go to study in America to start youth ministry. And immediately after coming back, the church then seconded me to go to the South African Council of Churches as a youth minister. That's where I got exposed to young people's interest. The reason why I became interested is because the drug issue is very prominent to young people, and I know what they are going through, and I've got a lot of those experiences I had. Okay.
The Central Drug Authority was established by an Act of Parliament. So we would like to know which act that is and what does the act seek to achieve. Thanks.
You mean the act in terms of the number? It was started in Act 70, I think, Act 70, if I can remember. But it was dealing with the issue of prevention, treatment, recovery, and of course, reintegration to the process of the community.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, the National Drug Master Plan is a very good framework. It gives a very good framework of addressing the issue of drug. The only, as you might have noticed, that the National Drug Work started in 2017, and it was reviewed, and finally it became they add up the issue. They thought it was weak in terms of monitoring and evaluation, and then they changed it. And it's a good document, but the only thing is that the implementation element is the weakest point of that document. And if that could be addressed, and I won't believe that the reason why people like myself are here was basically to come and add value, especially on the area of implementation plan. I come from the church. I come from the NGOs, and we have, I think, with the grassroots the grassroots foundation that we have will help in terms of making sure that the National Drug Plan shouldn't just be planning from the top. It should also part of the bottom up, so that you have an organization like the one that we are coming for an interview here. It's the one that makes a spiral activity, so that it touches both the top and the ground. So my the input that one will make is basically on the element of money, of coming up with an implementation plan. But beside that, I think the weakness that we have part of this plan is that we tend to benchmark from outside. We have never really gone to the African approach. The reason why we have this problem is because the family breakdown, the current cultural element was not taken into consideration. And the reason why our young people are in the street is because the African values system was not strengthened. I'm talking about the values that we find in Ubuntu, philosophy of Ubuntu. Those are the value systems that we need to go back to. And another element I think we need to begin to look at how the initiation school can play a role in making sure that our young people get values that are very, very important in supporting them and getting their identity. These are the areas that I thought would be appropriate. Coming from the faith-based organization, I think I can add value in terms of making sure that those components are all come into play. Okay.
Thank you. The National Drug Master Plan 2019-2024 represents a multi-sectoral approach to create a South Africa free from harm associated with drug use, misuse, and abuse. The plan observes national and international policies, plans, and conventions to ensure respect and dignity for all people in South Africa. So, my question to you, sir, is if you are appointed as a board member, you will be expected to implement the authority's mandate. Just share with us your understanding of the objectives of the National Drug Master Plan 2019-2024 and how you think the CDA should achieve them.
I think the objective of the master plan is part of those that we see in the social development. That is to make South Africa a drug-free country, and also to support those who have been victims of the drug problem. So the role of the organization, the board that one is elected for, is to basically to assist the master plan, to assist the department in making sure that this program, the goal of both preventing, because there are a whole lot of programs under the prevention, and of course the treatment element, and the area of recovery, and the area of rehabilitating those who have been victimized by this plague, to come back to the community. But there are a lot of programs that need to be done on that area as well. These are programs that need to be followed by people who have got the right attitude, make sure that the people who have been victimized are not marginalized. And we need to make sure that they are free, and that our attitude towards them should be the good one. And of course, we need to add value that in organizations like Alcoholic Anonymous, where they allow those people who have been victims of this to become partners of the healing process, involve them. And of course, we need to add the element benchmarking from other organizations that are dealing with the problem. The international element plays a very important role. I was privileged to go to Colombia to work with drug lords there, and I identified the programs that they are doing, and I think I can add value by going back to benchmarking from those organizations so that we empower our program.
Reverend, prior to the review of the National Drug Master Plan 2013-2017, a need to conduct an evaluation was prioritized to assess how it was implemented. Subsequently, the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation commissioned the implementation evaluation of the National Drug Master Plan 2013-2017 as part of the national evaluation system in partnership with the Department of Social Development. This evaluation took place between August 2015 and January 2016. What were the key findings and recommendations of the National Drug Master Plan 2013 to 2017, the implementation and the evaluation?
The recommendation, of course, as I said earlier on, was that the program was good, but very basically it was weak in terms of implementation. And the other element, it lacks the administrative element, is that the board had there were a lot of people who were resigning from it, either some people joined other organizations. So they felt that it was very important that they need to make sure that they reestablish a new board to begin to run this program, because that program will also help the department, which was the secretariat of the board, to operate to make sure that the program is running smoothly.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I just wanted to find out from you, or maybe let me put it like this. Can you please share your understanding in terms of good governance, what its main features are, and how, what your level of understanding in relation to good governance is? And then also, if you get appointed, how are you going to ensure in the board that good governance is being practiced in the board? Thanks.
You need to know that you have been elected by the people, and then you need to be the servant of the people, and also that you need to put them at the center of everything. I think that's what Batupili is all about, that you need to put the people at the center of the governance. And they are the one who, time and again, you need to report to them so that they can also make an input as part of governance. Governance has to do with the will of the people. So, in leadership, when you speak about leadership, is that I think Martin Luther King put it very well when he defined what leadership is all about. He says, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moment of comfort, but or in the moment of convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. You are there because you want to serve the people, not serving your own interests. So leadership is about influence. It's about influencing activities of both the individual and the group to achieve the goal that they elected you to do. So my understanding of governance is exactly that. You govern by the people for the interests of the people.
Thank you, Chairperson. Reverend Doctor, my question, what are the key issues affecting young people, families? Young people, families, wait, let me restart. What are the key issues affecting young people, families, and communities regarding drug substance abuse? How would you advise the government to deal with these issues?
Hila, I come from that experience. I know what they are going through. The things that influence young people, broken families, the first thing. Once you lose the balance of the family, then you lose it. It's very important that the government need to take at SCCC, we used to have what we call a home and family life. And what you know that during the time of apartheid government, the African family was completely destroyed. The father was not there, was in the mine. The mother was the only one who was left behind to take care of the family. So the government need to make sure that they invest a lot in making sure that their families stand firm. So that when a young person loses that, he becomes a delinquent. And a delinquent, you know, I may not have even time to describe, but there are four levels of what delinquents. There are delinquents who are smart enough, who will go to drugs, but they will never go that further. Those delinquents who will take Nyaope, for instance, those young people are delinquent, who are completely far away from home. They are in the street. The street of Johannesburg is full of those young people. So these are kind of things that are obvious. But of course, the peer pressure is one of the most important aspects that really put the young people. The other thing is that we don't have recreational facilities where young people can be. You take the energy that they have. I always say the Zovu Youth Choir is a very good example where there were facilities. A lot of young people were arrested by that structure. Can you imagine if we have this kind of structures in the rural areas? Young people are talented. Once they can have the place where they can take that energy, they can make it. So for me, that would be very critical. I'm saying so because I'm an artist. I attract a lot of young people through my artistic gift, music and so on. That's why I've got a lot of control for young people and influence for young people. I think that element, if you get into young people into artistic element, that will take them out of the street. In Nigeria, I worked with Nigerian youth. You hardly find young people in the street. They are in the farms, they are doing something. Here in South Africa, we need to benchmark from other areas where we can really get our young people busy and give them space where they can be artistic. I'm a wounded healer. Yeah, I heal. Because I show them the wound is healing, but I can say, I feel what you're feeling.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Baba Mfundisi, in your opinion, what is the state of public rehabilitation centers in the country? Are there any challenges with regard to access to public rehabilitation centers in South Africa? If yes, what are those challenges, and how would you advise the country to address those challenges?
Yeah, the challenges that I've seen, I've worked with a number of them. The challenge that they have is the issue of capital finance support. That's very critical. The other element is the element of training for the people running those institutions. And secondly, as I said earlier on, we tend to be westernizing some of the institutions. We need to begin to go back, look to the root where we come from. I think if this institution can incorporate the African culture element, and as I said, the model initiation schools, where we can begin to inculcate values, African value system that will be able to take those young people through. And of course, after treatment, what happened? You need to make sure that you give them something that they can begin that they keep them busy and to close that space. Because when you treat somebody and they are, as our program says, part of rehabilitating these people, we need to give them substance. I think the state can add value into that. I can give you an example. In Nigeria, we train the militants who were killing people. After when the government asked them to pull arms down, we trained them and they were given skill requisition. They went all over the world. The government, I think I can still remember, the government sponsored over 4 billion to give those young people skills. And some of them were here in South Africa, pilots and all of fishermen and so on. They went back to Niger Delta. And now they are useful citizens of the country. I think this is what is a very good program that we also can benchmark.
Thank you, no problem. One of the challenges facing the country is the lack of comprehensive national statistics on the prevalence of substance and drug abuse. How can the CDA play a role in this regard?
I think we need to be very close, establish a relationship with the Statistics South Africa, because they've got all the information that we need to do. And also we need to invite and engage researchers in humanities. Those are very critical people who can help us in terms of making sure that we have correct data and information on that element. We have all human resources in the country, just that we need to begin to engage them. And also we have got a lot of information that is not even utilized properly. I think we are comparatively, when you look at us and other parts of the African continent, even in the state, we are better off than. The problem is that we don't utilize this information constructively so that it makes an impact in our lives.
Thank you very much, Reverend Swane. Recently there has been much debate around the decriminalization of the use of cannabis or marijuana in South Africa by the courts. What is your opinion of that court judgment regarding the decriminalization of marijuana for personal use?
As indicated in the National Drug Master Plan, punitive approach has not succeeded. It has not succeeded in dealing with the issue of drug. I think what we need to do is basically, as I said earlier on, our approach to these people, the stigma element. And we will need to, as I said, I'm a wounded healer. When you go to these people, just judging them and undermining them and excluding them will not work. It's going there to them and say, I know what you're going through. Mahatma Gandhi said when he was approached by a mother with a son who wanted to stop eating salt, he sent them back for 30 days for a month. And when they came back, they said, we're back. He said, now you can stop eating salt. He said, you should have told us a month ago. He said, no, I've tried 30 days not eating salt. And it works. So you can do it. So what I'm saying is that these young people who are victims of this, they want to hear from people who have been there before. They become midwives. I think what our young people need, they need young people who have been there, who have been part of what they are going through. And that approach is very critical. The approach is very, very critical for young people. And they are willing, they want to I was talking to some of them in the street of Johannesburg. And they said, we want to get out of this thing, but no one is really approaching us to help us. So I think that the wounded healer approach is very critical.
Not, I'm healed. During the COVID-19 pandemic, lockdown regulations were introduced, which led to the ban of alcohol and tobacco sales in the country. How would you advise the country to deal with the sale of alcohol in particular during an epidemic in the future?
I think I want to approach my government. The stance that they took in dealing with the issue of alcohol was very constructive. And I think they should continue to do that. And this is a very serious problem because everywhere you go, our young people, I saw them just celebrating when the bottle stores were open. There was a lot of celebration. And this is a serious problem, Chairperson, that we need to deal and address as soon as possible. Our young people have been taken into this alcohol. And you go everywhere in the rural areas. Young girls are bragging. I was looking at this song, yeah, Jerusalem. When people were dancing, they were just dancing with bottles all over the country show. And I like the song. There's a lot of theology in the song where you look at the words, the lyrics, but I think what is important is that we are in serious problem when our young people taking over alcohol everywhere. It's not that, but South Africa is even worse. Yeah, I don't know what happened to us, but I think the state is very, I like the policies, what you're doing, the programs, that you know, but you need to hook in with the faith-based organization and other NGOs so that we can strengthen each other and work together.
What is your advice?
Our advice? Yeah, the advice is it. We need to do workshops. We need, like I'm saying, recreational centers where the healing can take place. We need to make sure that these young people, and we also in schools, we need to have what I would call second curriculum, where we deal with the issue. Because young people get into these things when they know the future is brighter. But if they see no future, they then begin to look at these things that give them temporary reliefs, and alcohol and drugs are the ones that normally give them temporary relief.
We are grateful.
In the book. All right. The guns.